Velkommen til Aftenklubben på Nova Podcast.
Husk, at du kan høre dagens aktuelle udsendelse søndag til fredag kl. 21 på Nova.
Og her i Aftenklubben, der ligger vi lige for ved at tale dansk. Men lige om lidt, så hiver jeg altså det bedste skoleengelsk, som jeg kan op af lommen, fordi jeg skal tale med en af de helt store internationale komikere. Han hitter lige pt. Med sin Netflix special, der hedder Recalibrate, som er blevet set over 127 millioner. Det er ret mange. Han er en af Englands bedst sælgende komikere, og hans seneste show, som han har turneret med, det hedder Round the World, og det satte altså rekorden som det største stand-up show nogensinde i Kina. Og her den 20., 21. og 22. maj, der gæster han Bremen i København med sit nye stand-up show, Respite, som han er på verdensturné med. Og en af de vilde ting ved den her verdensturné, som han er på, det er, at han jo faktisk har den danske komiker Simon Talbot med som opvarmning til det her show. Og det skal jeg også tale lidt mere om lige om lidt. Men allerførst så vil jeg gerne sige, Russell Howard, welcome to the program.
Hello, mate. I have no idea what you said about me there. It could have been like, this guy is wanted for many, many crimes against humanity. Please welcome Russell Howard.
That sounded nice. That was exactly what nice. I said, actually. So you nailed it. How are you doing?
I'm very well indeed. I'm in Vienna, just getting ready for a show here tonight.
You've been traveling around the world with this show, and we're going to talk about that. But how are you keeping the energy high when you're traveling around the world? Because you're doing that for a while now.
Yeah, but it's so exciting. So, you know, if you're doing kind of, you know, an arena in the UK, that brings its own energy. So if there's 15,000 people, you're really excited. But then similarly, if you're doing like a small theatre in Chicago, that is exciting because you think back to when you were a little kid and now you can't quite believe that you're there. And then you go to Europe, you go to Denmark, we're doing 6 gigs in Bremen, which is a beautiful little small theatre, and they're going to listen to me in their second language, and the gigs are already sold out, and you know they're going to be fun. It's kind of difficult not to be excited, because it's a bit like everywhere you go, you've organized the party, and everyone is going to turn up to that party, and nobody's going to talk at that party except for you. And everyone wants you to talk at the party and nobody else. So it's the greatest party. It makes actual parties very difficult, because you then go to a normal party and you're like, everyone shut up, all right? Right, turn around, face me and listen to me talk for an hour and a half, and then the party's over. You know, so the biggest problem is connecting with real life after a tour, rather than, you know, not being up for it. It's like, if you can't be energized by performing in front of, you know, 15,000 people in the UK, or, you know, 600 in Denmark, you know what I mean? Who else gets applauded as they start their job? Do you know what I mean? There's very few people.
I think it's only royal people at this point, actually.
Yeah, well, and certainly not in the English royal family. That's a goddamn law.
You are performing soon in Bremen in Copenhagen, as you just mentioned. What are your relationship with Denmark? You have been here a couple of times, but when were the first time you visited Denmark? Do you remember that?
Yeah, so we did it 2017 at Bremen, and then I went to a place called Aarhus. And I was actually in Aarhus, if I'm pronouncing that right, when COVID broke out. And it was this bizarre moment of seeing your leader decisively shut down the country. And Boris Johnson, I remember watching him on the news an hour later saying, it's very serious. We're going to have to wash our hands. And it was this combination of like a leader that was like, right, okay, I think this is serious. Everyone in your house, versus Boris Johnson going, right, you need to get the soap, put the soap on your hands, wash it around. And he even sang to us. He basically said, you need to wash your hands for 20 seconds. Now, the way I like to remember 20 is by singing happy birthday to myself. So talk about treating two nations differently. Your leader said, look, listen to me. I've listened to the science. Everyone in, we'll work on the vaccine. And Boris was literally staring at the British people. Happy birthday to... And I remember screaming at him, thinking, how stupid do you think we are that we need a song to remember how long 20 seconds is? And yet later on, at Copenhagen Airport, I was literally washing my hands going, happy birthday. And I thought I was alone. And I, the look of confusion on this Danish man as he emerged from a cubicle, saw me doing that. And he just looked at me and went, happy birthday. And I was like, no, it's not my birthday. And he was like, well, why are you singing it? And I was like, it's very hard to explain. I'm English. And our leader has taught us a song. So yeah, I have a really fond memory of Denmark because it was the madness of the past 2 years started for me in Denmark. And then I had this kind of sort of oddly unique experience of seeing how a Danish leader dealt with it, how my leader dealt with it. And then we were lucky enough to go to New Zealand in the height of the pandemic. We already had some gigs pre-booked and the government let us in. So we had to quarantine in a hotel for 2 weeks. Mm. And then we were allowed outside where there was no corona. This is January 2021 in New Zealand. So it was a really weird 2 years for me because we kind of, you know, I would have a lockdown and then suddenly I was in New Zealand and I was completely free. And then I would go from freedom back to the UK. And my wife is a doctor, so she was on a COVID ward. And yeah, it all kind of blended together. And yeah, it was a pretty, I mean, it's been a unique type time for everyone, but particularly as somebody that travels a lot, it's so interesting seeing the way in which societies have dealt with things. Do you see what I mean? Like from sort of a sociological or a political or a comedic sort of level, it's so interesting seeing, okay, so Switzerland, no masks. Okay, they still have masks in like they still have to wear masks at the Van Gogh Museum. Mm. When we went, which I thought was a little bit, you know, disrespectful because Vincent couldn't. And it's just little things like that where you just kind of like, okay, it's do you know what I mean? It's so odd how certain societies are moving forward. And I feel like Denmark and the UK are quite similar in that we're going, okay, let's try and move on now. Let's try and go outside. Let's try and go to gigs. Let's try and get society moving again, you know? Yeah. Whereas in parts of Canada, it's like still masks in the street, you know?
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
And you just mentioned that you were in Aarhus, and I have interviewed Simon Talbot a couple of times, actually. He's a great guy, and he's supporting you on this tour. Can you talk about how you met him? I remember I saw his show Make Denmark Great Again, where a part of that show was him trying to make it in the US, as far as I remember. Can you talk a little bit about how you met that guy and what your first impression of Simon was?
So I met him because he was supporting me at Bremen in 2017. And so like the local promoter had said, oh, this guy's pretty good. So do you want him to support you? I was like, yeah, fine. And we saw him do 15 minutes and he was really good. And he was a really nice, but he was so Irish because his dad is Irish. So I can't speak Danish. So he would be like, fluggity, bliggity, bluggity, look. That's how it sounds like to me. And then suddenly, like, he would be like full on like Irish now. You know, so he's like, hi, my name's Simon. And like a deep Dublin accent, not even like a, you know what I mean? Like a comedy one. He was like thick like that, like I'm going to smash your head in. And I was convinced he wasn't Irish. So I wanted to spend more time with him secretly so I could see whether it was a ruse and whether it was all a lie. I wanted to wake him up, do you know what I mean? In the dead of night, poke him with a stick to see what accent he would say. But he was still Irish. So that was the main reason, really. I wanted to figure him out. Now, the honest truth is, we did a gig. He was really funny, seemed like a nice bloke. And we kind of just got on and I just said, oh, do you want to support me in Europe? And so, yeah, so he's doing all the support for all the gigs in Europe and then all the support for the gigs in America. And it's just been a blast. You know, it's just good fun. And we kind of, you know, compliment each other and he goes on, does 15 minutes, and then I go on and, you know, sort of do an hour and a half, and it's just banging, man. It's just good.
And I have followed along on his YouTube channel, and it seems like you are good pals. It seems like very cozy when you're together.
Yeah, he's just a nice bloke. You know what I mean? To be honest, there aren't many people in comedy that are kind of dicks. Everyone's kind of pleasant, really, is the honest truth. There's not that many kind of, you know, there's a few, but not that many.
Og Russell Howard, han har altså lovet at blive hængende, fordi vi skal tale mere om stand-up og det her nye show, og også hans forhold til Danmark. Men allerførst, så tager vi lige en kort pause.
Det her er Aftenklubben på Nova. Lyden af Danmark om aftenen.
Det her er Aftenklubben på Nova podcast.
Her i Aftenklubben, der føler jeg mig egentlig ret beæret, fordi at til trods for, at jeg i programmet taler med rigtig mange forskellige mennesker hver uge, så er det sjældent, at jeg har besøg, eller i hvert fald med over telefonen, sådan internationale personligheder. Men det er faktisk, hvad jeg har lige nu, fordi over en form for Skype-forbindelse, der har jeg Russell Howard, som er en af de helt store internationale komikere. Og bare lige for at sætte i perspektiv, hvis ikke du kender Russell Howard, så kan jeg sige, at hans Netflix special, der hedder Recalibrate, det er blevet set af over 127 millioner. Hans seneste stand-up show, Round the World, det satte rekord i Kina som det største stand-up show nogensinde, altså i forhold til folk, der har set det. Og her den 20., 21. og 22. maj, der gæster han Bremen i København, hvor han har hele 6 shows. Og det er altså med det show, der hedder Respite, som han er på verdensturné med. Og det skal også lige siges, at lige før pausen, der talte vi om, om hans relation til Danmark og hans relation til Simon Talbot, fordi Simon Talbot, den danske komiker, har været opvarmning på den her turné rundt i hele verden, hvilket er ret vildt, og jeg ved fra ligesom at følge med på de sociale medier, at han har været besøgt Danmark en hel del gange, fordi han kender Simon Talbot. Og nu slår vi over i engelsk igen, så Russell Howard, he understands. Russell, let's talk a little bit about your view on Denmark and the Danish stand-up or comedian, like society or environment, because I'm kind of curious. Have you got a sense of Danish comedy from him or from just being in Denmark and the environment here? Do you have any sense of what Danish comedy is, how it is?
I guess so. Like I've done a few gigs there. I don't know Danish, so I can't understand it, but Simon's comedy feels, you know, I think YouTube and Netflix has changed the world a bit. So ultimately, audiences want kind of authenticity and they want interesting stories. I think, you know, the whole kind of the parody of 90s stand-up, you know what I mean, where it's like men do this, women do this, what's the deal with kind of, you know, flights and peanuts on flights and all that. It kind of feels like the Danish scene is suitably evolved. And I think, you know, it seems great, man. Whenever I've been there, the audiences have just been electric. It just feels like there's a really nice energy.
And let's talk a little bit about your show, Respite. Can you talk a little bit? What's that about? Is there a theme in it for you?
Well, yeah, I guess so. It's sort of about like, the importance of laughter. Like I said in my last special, that laughter is the lubricant that makes life livable, and life is a battle and laughter is respite. And it's sort of the importance that laughter plays in the world, and how strange it is that, you know, particularly at the minute, like comedy is an art form, and yet it's the only art form that is being punched in the face. You know, and it's so like nobody's bitch slapping the Mona Lisa, nobody's heckling a Shakespeare play. You know, it feels such an interesting time to be a comic, where, you know, the planet's dying. There's uranium in the water. They're trying to repeal abortion laws, and yet people are upset with jokes. So it's trying to make a case for how important laughter is, and those moments where we're lost in giggles, we're almost suspended from outside of our body by the relief, the temporary relief that laughter gives you. So it's sort of, that's the main message. And within that, there's just loads of jokes and loads of stories. And I really, like, for me, it's been vital, like laughter, to get me through life. And I think it is the case for most people. And what's happened in the last 5 years is that kind of bloggers and people with no sense of humor are, for whatever reason, trying to clamp down on, you know, a bit of fun that people have. So it's a defense of fun.
Mm. Do you, when you are out traveling with this show, Respite, do you ever change it a bit, or do you adapt it to the different cultures there are?
Because,
yeah.
So it completely changed. So I kind of, I had like half an hour, I would say, specifically to America. And then you kind of go, okay, there's no point in doing that. And then like 20 minutes of different stuff for Norway. And then quite a lot in Holland. There was a lot happening there. A little bit in Switzerland, I kind of managed to come up with. And like, but it's stuff that's so like, for example, in Norway, I found out that the national animal in Norway is the lion. And that made me laugh so much because, you know, there aren't that many Norwegian lions. But I love the idea that in the 13th century, someone in Norway was like, we need to select an animal that represents the country. It needs to be strong. It needs to be powerful. And the polar bear must have been stood there going, hello, put me in, put me in. Do you know what I mean? So that was this big bit about how frustrated the polar bear was with the Norwegians that he couldn't be the national animal. Now that's never going to be funny in England or, you know, or Budapest or whatever. But that night it was hilarious for the Norwegian people. And I love doing that. I love kind of getting into the weeds and trying to find stuff out because it's interesting. And you learn so much about like Denmark. Like I find such an interesting, I remember just traveling around on my scooter around Copenhagen going, wow, they've got porridge bars. They've got restaurants where people eat porridge. And there were like young, hip people, beautiful people, young people meeting up to go and eat porridge. Like it, like on a date. Like, porridge is one of the most repulsive meals to watch someone else eat. Like it dribbles, it slops, it's gloopy. And to me, that was so funny that you go, hey, do you want a meal? I'll have some, let's have some porridge. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I think and I remember talking about that in a gig in Denmark, and it was really fun in a way that you know, just talking about, I don't know, Lego or beer, like, and that's what I mean. All the standards, I like kind of street level knowledge where you kind of get into the weeds a bit and figure out how interesting these people are, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes totally sense. And the last question I have for you, Russell, is, you're this big international stand-up comedian, and I remember from talking with Simon that he also wants to make it big in the wide world, right? Mm-hmm. But what's the difference? What does it take to become like popular internationally compared to like big just for your own country? Does it take something different?
I think like I'm very lucky that I've had sort of two Netflix specials. I think that's a real game changer. So, you know, getting a Netflix special, suddenly you're seen by people all over the world, or having a TV show. You know, I've had Good News and the Russell Howard Hour, which are on my YouTube channel. So people can log on. And there's, because we've done probably 1,000 episodes of that now, you know, or there's 1,000 clips that somebody can watch them. And then because of YouTube, we've had people watch it in China. We've had people watch it in the Vatican. We've had some view. You can see where the viewers are. We've had viewers in North Korea. So now, I'm not going to tour North Korea soon, but the point is, you can kind of, I think it's that you can go, wow, there's, you know, there's 250,000 people in China that have watched this. You probably do it, you know what I mean? It's sort of that, really. So I think that's the brilliant thing about social media from a comedic point of view, is that you can put a bit, we can see Bill Burr do a bit, we can see Chappelle do a bit, you can see Michelle Wolf do a bit, you can see Michael Che, Dylan Moran, whoever it may be, on your phone. Where I was a kid, you had to desperately find a tape or a cassette. But I think that's the thing that, from Simon's point of view, that's probably what he's working towards, is trying to get, you know, like trying to get a Netflix special or a HBO special. And when you get one of those, that's a real game changer, because, you know, if you've got a really solid hour, it just goes mad. And then the viewing figures are mad. And then it's like Bremen. We did one Bremen last time and now we're doing six. So you go, well, that's because of YouTube and Netflix. Yeah, it's that, really.
So you have to be on all kinds of, not just social media, but as an international comedian, you have to thinking more platforms to use to read an audience.
Yeah, well, like I'm really lucky because I don't do any of that. I just have my agents do it. So basically all I've got to concentrate on is writing jokes. So I kind of write jokes and then they go, right, let's put that on Instagram or let's put that on YouTube or let's put that on TikTok. Do you know what I mean? So I'm really lucky. But yeah, I think that's probably what it is. The great thing is the next great international stand-up, she or he will probably be in their bedroom right now writing a joke and they'll perform it to a screen. And then they'll suddenly be doing arenas in, you know, in the UK. It's kind of amazing. It's quite punk. It feels quite punk to me that you can just be this kind of 16-year-old kid in your kitchen. I mean, because that's what Bo Burnham was. He just kind of sang songs in his shed and then became a star. You know, it's kind of amazing.
Yeah. And with that, I wish you all the best, Russell Howard. It was a pleasure to talk with you and have a great day and see you in Copenhagen.
Definitely. Take care, buddy. See you later.
Misser du noget i denne eller en tidligere udsendelse? Hop ind på radioplay.dk, så kan du høre alle udsendelser som podcast.
Det her er Aftenklubben på Nova.